Welcome to Girls in High Places with Maddie Monk. Here we go. Hey lovelies, welcome back to Girls in High Places, the place where you hear from relatable, boundary-pushing female role models to learn from and aspire to be. I'm your host Maddie Monk, and on this episode it's a little bit of a different one. As lockdown rules around the UK ease and we start to see a light at the end of the tunnel, I thought it would be super important and insightful to chat with someone who has been working tirelessly on the front line. The amazing Natalie Davis joins me, a district nursing team manager based in Bolton. The impact of the coronavirus pandemic continues to be significant on the delivery of nursing care in the community. Never before has there been such a nationwide focus on our NHS. Back at the very start with the daily TV briefings, with record-breaking audiences focusing on the spread of infection, ITU admissions, and the tragic rising death rates. Silently in the background, district and community nursing teams have continued to deliver complex care within patients' homes. In fact, demand for their care has increased, with many reporting the need to undertake many more visits each shift. Visits are complicated by the pandemic-related demands, including PPE, and the need to communicate whilst wearing a mask, which makes the provision of key information challenging, laborious, and time-consuming. I think you will all be with me when I say a massive thank you to our NHS. Each and every one of you has been incredible, and I believe we will all be forever grateful. In this episode, Natalie chats about the realities of being a district nurse within COVID times, as well as career advice and what it's like to work within this female-dominated industry. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please pop a star rating and review on Apple Podcasts so Girls in High Places can reach all of those ladies in need. And visit our Instagram page at girls_inhighplaces to view the main highlights from this episode. As ever, thank you all so much for listening, and I really hope you enjoy it. Here we go. Welcome, Natalie. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Not a problem. It's lovely to be here.
I suppose we could go straight into it then, really. It would firstly be amazing if you could just tell us a little bit about you and then your current role within the NHS.
Well, as you said, I'm Natalie Davis. I'm 30 years old and I live in the northwest of England. I am a district nurse. I've been nursing for 12 years now, so I started when I was 18. And I've done a variety of roles within the community nursing service. Currently, I'm working as a district nurse team manager, so I have 22 staff who I'm responsible for and around 300 patients at any one time.
Wow, that is... A lot, isn't it? I can imagine. Yeah. Heavy load. Do you think you've always wanted to be a nurse, or did you have any other career aspirations before you kind of went into nursing?
I definitely have always wanted to be a nurse. I've got the classic 3-year-old picture dressed in my nursing uniform. I think I've wavered a little bit in my teens. I wanted to be a physiotherapist or a personal trainer, but that was quite short-lived.
Yeah. So always, I suppose, helping people, caring for people, that kind of, I suppose, drives why you wanted to be a nurse, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. And I had quite a few role models within my family and friends, and that encouraged me to go for it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Just looking at your career history a little bit, you went to Salford University to study adult nursing. Would you be able to just tell me a little bit about that? And then I suppose your career history, like in general, like how you've progressed to where you are today.
Of course. I was just turned 18 when I started university, because my birthday is an August birthday. Applied through UCAS, but at the time it was really difficult to get into nursing, and only 1 in 6 applicants at Salford were successful. So I felt quite lucky, really.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it was at the time when the fees were funded by the NHS.
Yeah.
That drove a lot of people to apply for nursing, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't say it was one of my drivers, but I do know that some of my friends on the course, that was a big factor for them if they had young families and things like that.
Yeah.
3 years of training, 3 placements per year, and then the university side of things. So it's pretty hard going. I did a part-time job alongside in a pasty shop.
Did you?
Yeah, so most weeks I was working at least 6 day week.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I remember when, obviously I have sisters that are within, well, Beth used to be a midwife and then Lily works as a nurse now. And I remember when they were on placement, it was so full on. So as if you had a job alongside it. That's crazy. Yeah.
But and quite a riveting social life as well.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, always on the go. So then obviously came to qualify in 2011, and there was a real shortage of nursing jobs at the time. I actually worked on the bank for a couple of months, casual work as a healthcare support worker in the hospital.
Okay.
Until a 6 month post came available in community nursing. And I'd always really enjoyed community placements. So when that came up, I applied straight away. So that was within a district nursing team as a staff nurse. And I really do think when I look back on my career so far, that was such a key role for me. It was a really settled district nursing team, and there was some really incredible role models in that team. And people who I'm still friends with now. So there was some, what we'd say, more experienced nurses who were semi-retired, but the wealth of knowledge that they had was incredible. So I was able to shadow them and learn from them, but also some younger nurses that were working their way up the ladder themselves and sort of being exposed to that. Gave me the confidence to move up the ladder when the opportunities came.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose having those role models there will have definitely probably given you the confidence to know that you can go on to do that.
Definitely, because I didn't know the opportunities that were available. I knew it was a varied career and there would be lots of areas that I could work within, but I didn't sort of see how I could progress up the ladder until I was in that role.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is actually probably very common within actually all industries. Sometimes you don't know what the opportunities next can be. So it's really nice when you do have a role model that can kind of show you the way and show you that what is possible.
Definitely.
So then you got a job as a sister district nurse.
Yeah, so about 4 years after doing that role, a sister's post came up. Obviously, I was only 25 at the time, still felt really young, but some of my colleagues said, why don't you apply? And I did, and I was successful. And I don't think being young ever actually held me back once I was in the role. And so that was a real good step up, and having that responsibility for a small team and a team of patients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose it's really nice to hear you say that you don't think your age ever held you back, because I feel like sometimes people think, oh, well, I'm only 24, I can't apply for that, or I'm not at the right age yet. But, you know, to hear you say that, well, if you have the qualifications and you have the experience, then you should apply.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yes, and then you've now got your job now.
Yeah, so in between that, I did what they call the community specialist practitioner course in district nursing. So it's a 9 month postgrad diploma, and you come out of your current job to do that. And it's 50-50 university and placement. You do 6 modules at university at level 7, which is like master's level, and then do placement days within another district nursing team, where you have a mentor And it's all about them higher level specialist skills within district nursing. So it's a really unique opportunity, really, to be able to leave your current role, go back to university 50-50, and to be in another team, but not in what we call a supernumerary role. So you can watch from the wings in a way and learn. So I had a really, really good, what we call a practice teacher. She's now one of the matrons in district nursing. So she was an incredible role model at that time. So it's so unique, and luckily you're paid to do it. I felt really, really lucky to have done that, and then that opened further doors.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, as you say, that's an amazing opportunity. And I didn't realize that's actually what you'd done. So yeah, that's really cool. I suppose did it feel weird kind of going back to studying again? Or
very, yeah. It took me a couple of modules to get my head back into assignment writing and things like that.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? I did a placement like over the last year, and I remember my first module, I was like, whoa, I need to learn how to write an essay again, like I don't know what I'm doing. What would be your main advice for someone who's just come out of uni and she's got her PIN, or he's got his PIN? What would be your main advice for them to really make the most of their career, I suppose, either short term or long term?
So the first thing I would say is don't be set on one area of nursing, because I know when we have student nurses coming through and you'll say, where would you like to work? And they're quite focused on one specific area and then quite disheartened if there isn't a job in that area. Be broad with what you end up going for, because there's always opportunity to move on. And any experience that you gain in that first 6 months, 1 year, can only be a positive thing. So that would be my first.
I suppose, and it's in part with that, I suppose sometimes maybe step out of your comfort zone and go for something that you wouldn't be your first thought, like you've just said.
And then from that is not to be afraid to move on and to push your own boundaries. Like I said, I know people that I've worked with over the years, they've worked in the same place for a long, long, long time, and the thought of moving to another area or another speciality of nursing would be a total no-go. But actually, once you step out of that comfort zone, that's when opportunities do arise. Quite often, if you're in quite a stable team, the movement won't be the same.
Absolutely. And I suppose, as you just said, like a change of scenery and a change of people can help sometimes, because you end up learning new skills, new practices, probably exploring that practice more, would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, that, yeah.
And I wonder whether the COVID pandemic might have positively impacted that, because teams have been forced to work differently, so new ways of working, which has then opened the door for new opportunities and pushing people out of the comfort zone, really. And I think it'll be interesting to see when we do sort of return to a little bit of normality, have people gained confidence because they've had to move to another area or work on a different team. They've had to be more flexible with high levels of sickness, staff isolating and things like that. Has it then given them the confidence to think, actually, there is more out there?
We'll be right back. a little bit about working as a nurse and some career advice for future nurses. I would actually love to chat to you about what it's like to work within a female-dominated industry. Obviously, with nearly 90% of nurses in the UK actually being female, do you enjoy working within a female-dominated team, firstly? Or are there, like, I suppose, positives and negatives to it? Could you talk me through that a little bit?
So I've always enjoyed working in the female-dominated industry. Funnily enough, in every team that I've worked within, there's been one male.
Oh, fab!
I do acknowledge that lots of females working together can be challenging.
Perfectly leads on to my next little bit of a question. Do you find that then working with other females, they're supportive of your progression? Are females actually in practice supportive? Because I know that a lot of females like to say, yes, I'm supportive of other women, but when it comes into putting it into practice sometimes, they're not, sadly.
Yeah, from my experience, they definitely always have been, but I can see how it would work the other way.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously at the moment you're the district nursing team manager, obviously only at the age of 30, which it can mean that you're having older, younger people on your team, particularly older women or males. Like, what is your management style to managing older women? Do they respond well to it? Is it something that you find particularly difficult?
Yeah, so I think I've been really lucky. I've never had any issues at all, really. But whether or not that's how, you know, I treat people equally and sort of get that in return.
Yeah, I can imagine so. I suppose that's the way to do it, isn't it? Be supportive of them and then they are hopefully supportive of you back. And as you've said before, like, age is just a number, more so in nursing probably, actually. It shouldn't matter your age. Have the qualification. You all have the same qualification.
Yeah, definitely.
To move on a little bit and chat about the last year, I suppose, of crazy COVID. The media obviously has probably more than ever really revealed to the public firsthand the realities of nursing as a profession, showing the extent of nurses' compassion, professionalism, and their real specialist knowledge. In the past, the media has portrayed nursing very differently over the years. Nurses have historically been portrayed in a more subordinate role to doctors, and then they're normally heavily male doctors. Do you think the events of COVID over the last year then have really rightly changed people's overall perception of nursing?
I do. I definitely think it's put us in the spotlight in a really positive way. Like you said, nursing in the past maybe hasn't been seen as a real career, more of something that people just go up, sort of fall into doing, rather than, I know I've had it where people have said, oh, you have to go to uni to be a nurse, or 3 years at uni to be a nurse. They've not understood what goes with it, really. So definitely it's put nursing in the spotlight and portrayed us for what we are, really. Highly skilled.
I was just about to say, incredibly highly skilled. And obviously with the events of COVID, it has really empowered nurses and, as you said, really shone a light on how many responsibilities you have. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people feel like doctors, I suppose, sometimes have a greater authority, but I don't know if it's because I've got a nurse within my family and then I actually have a cousin that's a doctor. I've actually always seen them kind of on a level playing field. They work together. And I think that, you know, doctors wouldn't be able to do their jobs without nurses. I bet you look back over the last year and the demand for care within district nursing, it's increased. Even the amount of visits you are having to do per shift, things can be really complicated due to like things like PPE. And then, you know, even communicating with a mask on, it just added that extra layer of pressure to already a very like a pressure job.
Yeah, it's been so challenging. It's funny you mention about the PPE. That was such a huge challenge at the beginning. First of all, making sure that we had everything that we needed. The guidance from Public Health England was changing quite regular.
Yep.
Right, make sure you've got X, Y and Z. And before, we could just hop out of the car, knock on the patient's door, go in. Whereas now we had a different way of doing it. You've got to make sure you get all your PPE on before you go in the door. Then you've got elderly patients who are profoundly deaf, rely on lip reading, and you're wearing a mask. So that's a real challenge. And like you said about the increase in visits and district nursing, we don't have an upper capacity. If you were on a ward of 30 beds, once they're full, they're full.
Yep.
Our door doesn't close.
Oh, really? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so it's we sort of, referrals come through. And there was a big push to get these patients out of hospital, back into their own homes, which we totally supported. But in turn, that really did impact on our capacity.
No, definitely I can imagine, because yeah, like you said, it's kind of like once they then came out of hospital, it was then your responsibility to probably go and give them that care, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, yeah. Oh gosh. Wow. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we are at the light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also I always say nurses and doctors and everybody throughout this pandemic have really, really been amazing. You're very, very special people. As I do with all of my interviewees, I was just hoping to ask you my little five rapid fire questions. Some of them aren't as rapid fire as the rest of them, so please bear with me. But yeah, I'm just super interested to hear what you feel. So the first one is, what do you think of when you hear girls in high places?
I think girl power.
Yeah, too right.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. Please may you complete the statement, never feel afraid to.
Challenge yourself.
Absolutely, and I feel like that's a really big theme with our chat today. You put yourself out of your comfort zone. No challenge is ever too big.
Definitely. What's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. It's like my mum always says. You know when you really want to ask someone something and she's like, what's the worst that can happen? They just say no. And then you just say, okay. And I'm like, true, mum, true. Yeah. And then would you be able to, now this is a bit of a tricky one, but pick three women who you would love to have a dinner party with?
So I think I've got to say Florence Nightingale.
Absolutely.
That I would be silly not to. Coming to my head is Sporty Spice.
Fun.
Yeah, all around inspirational 90s woman. Michelle Obama.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah, she's just the ultimate
she
power
is.
Woman.
I was going to say, she's a powerhouse, big time.
Wonderful.
Imagine having them three sat around the table. Who has been your biggest inspiration in your life? That can either be just in in your life or within your career?
I would definitely say, and I've thought about this a lot recently, she sadly passed away at the beginning of last year.
Sorry,
but she was a power woman. She was a headmistress of a secondary school, and she brought my mum up on her own. And she just oozed confidence, and she was just a real inspiration.
Oh, that's lovely. And then finally, what is success to you?
Being happy. I think that is the key to it all. You could earn however much money and get the biggest role in your industry, but if you weren't happy then and content in what you were doing, and that balance between work and home as well, I think that's really important. To be successful, you need to be happy.
Absolutely, I completely agree. It's something that is the exact answer I would give if you were going to answer me that. Yeah, it is. I've always said to me, like, being happy is incredibly important.
So important.
Yeah, and I think that's really nice to hear you say that in terms of, you know, acting as a role model for girls who are coming out of uni. It is so important. It's been so lovely chatting with you today. Thank you so much for coming on. And you're going to have helped so many girls that need that role model within the nursing industry. So thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So there we have it. That was your NHS special edition episode of Girls in High Places. I really loved talking to Natalie about the realities of being a district nurse within COVID times, as well as career advice and what it's like to work within this female-dominated industry. I found it super inspiring, and I hope you did too, to hear Nat say how important it is to challenge yourself, as often it's a path that leads to growth. Remember, taking that leap, believing in yourself, and stepping out of your comfort zone can push you further than you ever imagined. For more highlights on this episode, pop over to our Instagram at girls_inhighplaces. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care, and I will see you on the next step. Bye.